Today is Wednesday, October 24th. This is the women's Chumashir. We are up to Bereshit Perek Yud Zayin. Okay, Rabotai. We are up to Sefer Bereshit at the beginning of Perek Yud Zayin. I'd like to dedicate the shir Ilui Nishmat Aryeh David Ben Harav Avraham Yitzchak, an incredible human being, incredible doctor who was loved by all, David Ziegelman, Zichrono Livracha, Shandy's husband, and hopefully our learning will certainly grant him Ilui Nishmato. He was really a very special person. Last time we met, we focused on Professor Breuer's comments as he traced the covenantal phrase, which is introducing this unit that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Ani El Shaddai Hishalech Lefanai Ve'yei Tamim. And we saw how this phrase evolved from the time of Adam, Noah, Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and the Shvatim, all throughout Sefer Bereshit. And now we will try to understand today, again, an introductory pasuk to the covenant of Brit Milah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is making together with Avraham. And it states in the original pasuk, in the first pasuk, that Avraham was 99 years old. HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared to Avram and he said, Ani El Shaddai, Hithalech Lifonai Veheye Tamim. I want you to walk in front of me, I'm just translating it, walk before me and be Tamim. So what exactly does this phrase actually mean? And this is before he says, does God in Pasuk Bet, I'm going to establish a covenant between you and me. What does it mean, hitalech lefanai? And what exactly does it mean, veheye tamim? And as usual, there's going to be much debate amongst all of the parshanim and the midrashim. So the phrase, ani el shaddai, we spent plenty of time on. And now, let's see how we can understand hitalech lefanai veheye tamim. So if you were to please... we read the Rashi already, so please take the handout, page number one. Actually, did this already. Let me just read another pasuk or two, and then we'll take a look at this. Ve'etna briti beni ubeinecha, I will place or present my covenant between me and you. Ve'arbe otcha b'me'od me'od, I will make you multiply. Vayipol Avram al panav, Avram fell on his face. Vayedaber ito Elohim le'mor, and God spoke to him, saying whatever he will say to him in the coming few verses. So take a look at Rashi, in Pasuk Bet, Ve'etna Briti. So Rashi says, Brit Shel Ahava, Ubrit Haaretz, Lahorisha Lecha Al Yedei Mitzvazu. Rashi stretches the words Ve'etna Et Briti. The simple interpretation of Ve'etna Briti is, I will establish my covenant, and that's called Brit Milah. And in fact, 13 times in this paragraph, in this chapter, in this unit of Brit Milah, the phrase Brit will appear 13 times. As if we wouldn't understand it the first time around, 13 times it is presented as describing the Brit of Milah. So the simple pshat is, this is the first of the 13. And I don't need anything else. But Rashi does not, as I always tell you, does not follow the simple pshat, as much as you were told in the third grade that Rashi is a pashtan. He loves midrashim. And the midrash he's quoting here, is a the Brit is a covenant of love that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is establishing with Avraham. I don't know exactly what that means, a covenant of love, because a covenant always means I do something, you do something, and we're both obligated to observe it, whether the other one observes their share of the deal. It's there's no such thing as non-compliance with a Brit. And it usually means I obligate yourself to do something. Not, you know, love is a little vague. The second part I understand. Uberit ha'aretz lahorisha lecha al yedei mitzvah zu. When you accept this mitzvah of Brit Milah, I, God, will now promise to award your children, to guarantee that your children, perhaps your grandchildren, perhaps your great-grandchildren, will ultimately inherit the land. So there will be a connection between Brit Milah and Yerushat Haaretz. That's how Rashi interprets Ve'etna Briti Beineyu Beinecha. In fact, the publisher of the Torah Chaim always gives you which Medrash is Rashi quoting. He'll say it's Bereshit Rabbah here, it's Yalkut Shimoni over there. Here his comment is, I haven't found such a Midrash, that Rashi is quoting, that it's referring to a Brit Shel Ahava and the Brit of Yerushat Haaretz, which will be guaranteed as a result of the Brit Milah. He says, I can't find the origin for Rashi's remarks, but it's certainly not the Pshat.
So you're saying that even if we don't live up to the Brit cannot be broken.
That is the difference between a promise, a Havtacha, and a Brit. A Havtacha, each of us mutually agree to observe something, and if I don't, you don't have to keep up your side of the bargain. With a Brit, you're obligated to keep up your side of the bargain, even if I'm negligent in fulfilling my side of the bargain.
And Hashem is obligated.
He's the speaker. So he's obligating himself. That is correct. That is correct. So, Avram, that's the first thing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him. And Avram's reaction is, Vayipol Avram al panav. Avram falls on the floor. So let's spend some time on this. Take a look at Rashi. Vayipol Avram al panav. Mimora hashchina. Simply being intimidated by the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he falls down. Sha'at shelo mal lo haya bo koach la'amod v'ruach HaKodesh nitzevet alav. Until he circumcised himself, he could not respond to HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepting anything he said simply without being overpowered by the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. However, once he was circumcised, then you will not find a phrase like this, Vayipol al panav, that Avram's reaction would be that he falls flat on his face. Tell me why Rashi is compelled to make this statement and the difficulty in this presentation with Rashi. Tell me why. We've been learning Lech Lecha, so that was chapter 12. So we've already done four chapters of Avraham. Tell me why this interpretation is a little difficult. In light of, we have learned four chapters of Avraham. Yes.
Maybe because Hashem already appeared to Avram.
Not maybe. Say it definitively. Not maybe. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has spoken to Avram many times. And nowhere do we register what? This reaction by Yipol al panav. And just as he was not yet been circumcised, he was not circumcised 12 years ago, 15 years ago. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu first appeared to him, which according to Rambam was age 43, he also quotes the famous Midrash that he was 3 years old when he discovered Avraham, discovered HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the Rambam doesn't like it because he doesn't think a three-year-old can reach such conclusions. He said he was 43. Fine. So this is the first time that you make a reaction, that you report such a reaction, that he was overpowered by the Shekhinah. Say it the first time, and then I'll remember it every single time until the Brit Milah takes place. So this is what Rashi says. It's very difficult. So now we can see a variety of other responses. A variety of others. Take a look at the handout. So we'll start on the left-hand side with the Radak. Vayipol al panav. What would you say if somebody asked you, without looking anywhere, what would you say is the purpose of falling down? Give me two possibilities that you might know of in the Chumash.
Well,
the what?
We know from Moshe, vayipol al panav.
When does Moshe vayipol al panav?
When it's very frustrating.
When he's frustrated.
Yeah.
When he's people where he feels, you know, I tried my best. I want to convince everybody to vote. Here they go again. So it's out of utter frustration. Does anybody when Korach starts to rebel? The next pasuk after the Torah tells us that Korach is complaining, Vayipol al panav. Exactly. When else? Or what else, what other reason might there be for Vayipol al panav? Respect, or a little sharper.
Is it being overwhelmed?
It's often introduced as a method or a posture of tefillah. That's the case of Moshe. He prays to God, what in the world am I going to do with these people? So what might else be Vayipol al panav? That's what some... But then it should have been the first time. What? Gratitude, yes.
Wow.
HaKadosh Baruch Hu says something nice, something wonderful. So the way you express gratitude, just imagine yourself in front of a king. So, you know, in America today, that's not the way you would express yourself in the front of a president of the United States. But, you know, it can be any president of the United States. That's not what's done. But it would be something akin to you know, engaging in some type of gesture which would indicate thank you for responding, thank you for your offer. So Radak takes that approach. Vayipol al panav. Hishtachaveh v'hoda l'el al asher omar lo sheyitein birito beino ubeino. That God promised that He will establish the covenant between Him and Avraham. That will be the ultimate expression of the manifestations of love that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has expressed for Avraham. And Avraham, for God, will now come about in a final way through the Brit. So the Vayipol al panav is simply derech gratitude, as one would be expected in the case of a king. Certainly, Melech Malchei Hamlachim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Still I would ask, Radak, still I would ask, there have been some nice things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has promised to Avraham in the last four chapters. In fact, the very first time that he spoke to him. What did he tell him? Ve'eseh otcha l'goy gadol, ve'avarechecha, ve'heyeh bracha, and so on and so forth. And yet, Avram did not feel compelled to fall down and prostrate himself, having been told that you are going to be a great nation, and so on and so forth. It's a little difficult, but I can appreciate what Radak has to offer in this context. Take a look on the right-hand side of the page is the Ramban. And here Ramban says something interesting. Vayivitam vayipol alpanav. No problem. Lichavein da'ato linivuah. To prepare himself for what? For prophecy. Ka'asher hishlim lo nivuat Hamitzvah b'mila, come Avraham ve'amad. After what? After HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to Avram and tells him about the Brit Milah, the Torah will say that Avram gets up. And the Ramban elsewhere elaborates, which we all know, that we say this whenever we daven in the morning and we sing it Friday night in shul, Lo kam bi Yisrael ki Moshe od, Navi u'mabit et munato. There is no one who experienced nevuah in the manner which Moshe did. Moshe did it, as the Torah says, Ka'ashe yidaber ish el re'eyu, panim el panim adaber bo. But that doesn't exist with any other Navi. So his Vayipol al panav is not only that he's putting, it's not that he's bowing down, he's lying down completely, prostrates himself on the floor, because what is the method of God's communication to everyone except Moshe? What manner? It's derech b'chalom. So you have to be asleep. So you are overpowered by something. You take a little Tylenol PM and you fall asleep, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu somehow communicates with you. So Vayipol al panav is Avram knowing that God is going to speak to him, and he interprets that by how does he know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to talk to him? Because he says to him, Hitalech lefanai ve'yetamim ve'etna briti b'nei u'b'necha ve'arbeh otcha b'mod od. And he hasn't told them anything about the Brit. He understands that he has to somehow get prepared for the Nevuah. But tell me the difficulty of this interpretation. We're going to be stuck with a lot of difficulties today. Tell me the difficulty of this Ramban interpretation. Ramban's going to walk in through the door. What are you going to ask him when you just read this?
Abraham didn't know about any other prophets and how Hashem communicated with him, and he communicates with him panim upon him.
Correct. No, he doesn't communicate panim upon him. This is the way he always spoke to Avram. Good. So what should have happened at the very beginning? How should this chapter begin? Vayipol Avram al panav, vayo vayera elav Hashem, and God came to him and said, Hitalech lefanai, and so on and so forth. Why give us the manner, the posture which Avram assumes in order to receive the prophecy after half the prophecy has already been recorded? It says, Ani El Shaddai, Hitalech lefanai ve'yetamim. So God's introducing him himself. So,
and it doesn't say here that it's in a dream.
No, it does not. But that's what the Ramban is alerting us to it.
Yeah.
He's preparing lechavein da'ato v'nevuah. The only way in which Avram was ready to accept Nevuah is that he prostrates himself, falls asleep. Unless what's happening here is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can give you a signal that I'm prepared to talk to you. So that's what it means. He speaks to him, but he hasn't said anything really. Just introduces himself. Perhaps the introduction doesn't need Avram to fall on the floor. But when you get to the substance of what the nevuah is, that should have, the etna briti b'nei u'b'necha is pretty substantive, and that v'arbe otcha me'od is pretty substantive. And again, if Ramban would come in, I would ask him, why wouldn't this phrase begin the opening of the unit? And as I always say, it's a very famous Yiddish expression. Nobody dies by knowing the question. You don't need an answer. If you understand the difficulty, it means you know what the person is saying. If you don't even notice the difficulty, then you have no grasp of what he was saying. So Ramban is very appreciated, but it's not. It should have started a little earlier. And he gives you a couple of illustrations where the Torah records that somebody fell on his face, and that they are, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu begins speaking, And even though in some of the examples that he gives, Moshe was around, but it was together with Aharon. So once the Nevuah had to reach Aharon as well, Moshe occupied the same stance as Aharon. That's why it says, Vayiplu al Panehem sometimes. When Moshe is alone, he doesn't need it. He can stand here like I'm standing right now. Yeah?
Could it be that he fell on his face after God mentioned the word grief, knowing that if in the future his children will commit a sin, God will still honor what he said, and so in gratitude for the word grief, knowing that God will just do what he promised, he did it after.
I could hear that. But that's not what the Ramban is saying. I can hear that. Yes. Good.
What's lefanai? It sounds like, what is lefanai from the word, I don't know, from the word panim? With which am I, is he, what is the definition of lefanai here? Come in front of me?
So it's a very good question, and one of the explanations, if you take a look, you don't have the Radak, but because it's on the other page, the Radak says Hitalech Lefanai means Avod Lefanai Avoda Asher Atzaveka, that I'm pre-saying that I am going to what? Share with you a covenant, which will happen shortly. So lifanai is that the actual communication will take place in a couple of seconds, not immediately. That's how he interprets the lifanai. It's a very difficult phrase, no doubt. No doubt. So, good. Turn to page 2 for a second. So on the right-hand side of the page, you have Chizkuni, who takes the similar approach as Radak, Vayipol Avram al Panav, Hishtachaveh al Simchat HaBesura. He prostrated himself on account of the fact that he got a very wonderful promise that I'm going to establish a covenant to represent our mutual love for one another. Turn to page 3, and you have a medrash. This is the medrash which Rashi himself quoted. Vayipol Avram al panav, mikan lamadnu le'adam shehu arel she'eino yachol la'amod al raglav be'et shehashchina midaberet imam. From here we learn that no human being who is uncircumcised can stand in the presence of God while the Shekhinah appears to him. And the text proof is from Bilam. V'chein b'Bilam hu omer, no fail then ugilui einayim. God opens my eyes to see what's going to happen in the future. But how does he receive the prophecy? He falls on the floor. So Bilam said, and Bilam was Arel all his life. So he emphasizes that the only way in which he could have received prophecy was by falling on the floor. Again, if the author of this medrash would come in, doesn't say who the author is, I would ask him the question. In respect to Nevuah, Bilam was no different than any other Navi. None of them could receive the prophecy of HaKadosh Baruch Hu just standing up. They had to be in a deep, very deep sleep. And the only way that can happen is if you're lying down, you're standing up, It's a little difficult to be in a deep sleep when you're standing up. But again, that's, if you want to know where Rashi saw it, he saw it right there. Turn the page for another second. This is a different midrash. Vayipol Avram al panav vayidaber ito lemor, where it's bracketed. Ra'ui lasim lev. One should pay attention. Ma shahaya shehischil bilashon vayomer shehu lashon chiba v'siyem bilashon vayidaber shehu lishon koshi. There is a well-known phrase in the Midrash that when God speaks, He can speak, as we all can, in a multiple tones. Some of our intonations indicate that what? We're looking to, you know, to be nice and pleasant in our discussion. And others are a little more harsh. And the way the Torah communicates that is Vayomer is always Lashon Raka, a sweet, softer tone. Vayidaber is Lashon Kasheh, and a little harsher tone. Of all places which where the Torah uses this, and that is the makor of this particular midrash, is in Shemot chapter 19. Please turn to Shemot chapter 19 for a minute. But that's always Vayidaber Hashem, but here it's going to be a change in... This is right before Har Sinai. It is Pasuk Gimel. Umoshe Allah El Elohim Vayikra Elav Hashem Min Hahar Lemor Ko Tomar Lebeit Yaakov Vitageid Lebnei Yisrael. So Rashi there says that there was a different way in which Moshe would communicate Torah. If he speaks to the women of Am Yisrael, he should use a softer touch. Ko tomar lebeit Yaakov. Vitageid is a harsher expression, as comes from the doesn't come from the word. Tageid actually means lahagid, to speak also, to tell something. But the midrashic interpretation is to say it in a tone like Gidin, like your veins are in your body. Very tough. And the way you speak to men is to be very tough. So Rashi then adds that throughout the Torah, Vayidaber Hashem is much more harsh. Vayomer Hashem is much softer. And here, this particular Midrash is asking the question, why is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu starts with in the first pasuk, Vayira Ela Hashem El Avram Vayomer Elav, and then two psukim later Vayidaber Ito Elohim Lemor? Why the switch, says the Midrash? That's one question. Va'od Hallo kol devarav brachot v'yudim tovim. Doesn't look like anything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Avram is anything harsh, anything that he has to worry about. It seems like it's all brachot and wonderful promises. Ve'eze koshi yesh bidavar sheitzdak bo loshen vayidaber. Why would he have to communicate and change his intonation, change the tone of his voice halfway down? There's nothing here that is terribly difficult. It's not a terribly bad prophetic vision. So why would he have to change his tone? Vigam nidakte omro lemor. I will also try to understand, how does the word lemor appear at the end of the pasuk that we're studying? Because what does the word lemor always mean? So, what does it mean? Say. It says vayidaber at the beginning of the pasuk. Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe lemor. So what is lemor? Tell it to others. Exactly. Some communications remain private communication between God and Moshe. Some he has to share with someone else. Who is Avram now supposed to share it with? Who is he supposed to? And you'll come up with a very good suggestion, and he never does it. Who would you think Avram should tell if it says Lamar? His wife. That is correct. Yet he never does. He will never say to her directly that, you know what? God told me you're going to get pregnant. You're going to have a child by the name of Yitzchak. Never happens. So, at least from a pshat point of view, we have an answer. Why would it say lemor in this particular case? Ve'od ki achar she'odena orel, lama lo nemar vayipol, ki shehizchil ledaberito ani el shaddai. Here the question which this midrash asks, if the word vayipol is designed to teach us that if you are an orel, you cannot receive God's divine message unless you are totally knocked out. Well, the first word of this unit should have been, God spoke to him. What did he tell him? Ani El Shaddai. He identified him by name. Well, how would Avram ever hear that if he was not already in a deep sleep? So the Midrash alerts us to the fact that the word, that in this case, Vayipol is not placed within the sequence which you would have expected if this is all true. If this is all true. Good. So we have many, we don't have a lot of good answers. We have a lot of questions on a variety of interpretations of Vayipol Avram al Panav, Vayidaber ito Elohim lemor. So what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu say to him after he's asleep? Let's just give him the benefit of the doubt. Ani hine b'riti itach v'hayita la'av hamon goyim. I am first promising you that you are going to be the father of many nations. Not just the father of Am Yisrael, but the father of many nations. So, look at Rashi, Ki Av Hamon Goyim. Lashon Notrikan Shel Shemo. The words Av Hamon Goyim are actually a mnemonic to Avram's name. If you want to know what Avraham means, it's Av Hamon Goyim. You know the word Goyim is not exactly there. So look at Rashi further. V'reish shahayta bo b'tchila shelo haya Av ela le'aram shehu mikomo. Up until now, Avram was only the head of the city of Aram, Aram Naharayim, from which he came. Even though, I would ask Rashi, where in the world did you notice in describing Avram in his early days that he was anything of a master or a father figurehead in the Aram Naharayim? Who is communicated to us as the leader of this clan?
His father Terach.
His father Terach, exactly. It is Terach who takes them out of Ur Kasdim and starts the trek to Eretz Canaan and only gets to Haran and dies in Haran. So again, I don't understand where Rashi is lifting this idea, at least from the text, that Avram, up until this confrontation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Avram was only the Av of Ram. Aram Naharayim. That's why he was Avram, not Avraham. Ta'achshav Av L'chol Ha'olam Lo Zazah Mim Koma. And now, not only is he what? The father head of Aram, but it's for the entire world, and he will never forfeit this benefit. Never will leave him. So here I understand why, what's happening to Avram. He is being awarded through all of the children that will come, particularly through whom? Which two children will he have directly and then subsequently? Yitzchak and Yishmael. Eventually Yaakov and Esav. So it's not one family, it's a multitude of families which he will serve as the head of. And in fact, based on this, there is an opinion in the Gemara concerning the reading of what we call Mikra Bikurim. Every year, annually, after the Yom Tov of Shavuot, during the time of the harvest of the fruits, you are obligated to take a portion of your fruits and bring them to the Beit HaMikdash, give them to a Kohen, bring it in a basket, and you had to read a certain section, which we have included in our Haggadah on Pesach at night, Arami Yoyved Avi, that those four units, four psukim are supposed to be read. So there is a debate between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda as to whether or not a convert is allowed to read this particular parsha. Because it says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us to the land, took us out of Mitzrayim, Vayerid Mitzrayim, Vayerid Hashem Mimat, Vayeritzienu Hashem Mekenu Misham, and what did he do? To bring us to the land which HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to Avotenu. What do you mean, Avotenu? If you're a convert, he did not give it to you. So Rabbi Yehuda answers, yeah, he did give it to you, to your parents. Who is that? Avram was Av Hamon Goyim. So he allows a convert to read the Parsha, and it still fits in with the description that Avraham was the father of this convert, and is permitted subsequently to read the Parsha of Mikra Bikurim. And it's based on this, Ki Av Hamon Goyim, and Rashi claims it's alluded to in his name. Av, with the hey, Hamon Goyim, and the Ram is that he was initially only from Aram Naharayim.
Are converts known as Ben Avraham, or Ben Avraham?
Yes, they are.
So Avraham is his father.
That is correct. That's why we name every male convert takes the name somebody Ben Avraham. That is correct. Specifically to connect them to Am Yisrael. That is correct.
And I also correct. Was taught that converts were really Jews, but they were misplaced or something.
I don't know about that. I don't know about that.
Yeah.
Okay, so now take a look at the Ramban on page number 5. No, it's a quote, the Ramban is being quoted. The Pasuk said, we just read it, Ani hine biriti itach. My covenant will be established with you. Katav haRamban. Hu brit hamila, the acharei habrit tihiyeh le'av hamon goyim. After the covenant, which is brit mila, then Avraham takes the role of being Av, the father of a multitude of nations. U baruch hu, and blessed is God, Asher lo levado nitkenu alilot. Only God had this following idea. Shehikdim v'tziva et Avraham lavo bibrito kodem shetahar sara lihiyot zaro kodesh. Adkan l'shono. Thank the good Lord that HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructed Avram to undergo milah before Sarah would become pregnant with Yitzchak. There are two different types of converts. You can have a convert or a child who is sanctified only after birth, but not after conception. The child was conceived while the mother was still a Gentile. However, Avram, or a child can be converted, can be conceived before conception. So God's wish is, what? But to convert, a child can convert before, but, right, where the mother converts before conception. So you have one status where it's leidato bigdusha veheirato shelo bigdusha. That's one type where the conversion takes place after the conception took place, and that's considered a lower level of kedusha. Here the Ramban points out that the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu is establishing the covenant now, right here and now, is that he would like Yah Avraham and Sarah's child to be endowed with Kiddushat Yisrael Shleima, not only for Leida, but for conception as well. And that's why Tzivayat Avraham Lavo Bebrito Kodem Shetahar Sarah lihiyot zaro kodesh. Lihiyot zaro kodesh. Yes.
Does it ever say when Sarah was converted or became Jewish?
No. It doesn't really say that Avram. That is correct. It doesn't.
And there's no Brit Milah for a woman.
That is correct. And it's a very good question. What did Sarah have to do in order to join this union of it's a very good question. But assuming that they had mikvaot,
yeah.
But the simple interpretation is that she accepted the mitzvot of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that may have been given up until that particular time. That's the only thing you could say. And of course, there's not one word about Sarah's conversion. Doesn't say anything about her. Doesn't say anything about her religious development at all. Yes.
Maybe that's why Hashem changed her name, sort of like to let her be reborn as a new person.
It happens to be. You might be right. That's true. And the name Sarai is again Sar of many. That was the name change from Sarai to Sarah. Is a little more difficult to understand. Why would he take away Sarai, which is master of many, as opposed to Sarah, which is, you know, doesn't have as we'll get to it when the Malach comes and changes the name from Sarah to Sarai. It's actually from Sarai to Sarah. It's a very difficult name change. We'll get to it. But here, the purpose of this, according to the Ramban, is simply to assure the fact that Avraham will give birth to Yitzchak when the Kiddusha is Bishleimuta. Bishleimuta. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Turn to page 6. And here, the Beit HaLevi deals with a real philosophical issue concerning this particular brick. What? Yes. That is correct. Yes. Is it the first time that it says there's a brit beiniu beinecha? Yeah, it is. It's a higher form of just a covenant. Yes, no doubt. So take a look at the top. Hitalech lefanai ve'etna briti b'ni u'b'necha. Hinei b'ikar mitzvat milah chokru harishonim. The early masters raised the following chakira. Chakira is a question, an analytical question. Im hu begeder hasarat hachisaron, is the purpose of a brit milah just getting rid of something that is considered detrimental to the man? The ha'orla, having the halachic literature term for somebody who's uncircumcised, is called an orel. The orla, the uncircumcised, humum be'adam ha'yisraeli, it is considered a defect in a Jewish male. Ubemilah mafridim et achisaron mimenu. What do we accomplish by engaging in this brit milah? We remove the pegam. We remove the physical damage that this human being was created with by removing the foreskin. That's side A of the coin. Side B of the coin is O imhu hosafat ma'ala ukedusha kmo kol mitzvot asay shehem bikum va'asay shehem lahosif ma'ala ukedusha le'uma ha'yisraelit. Namely, perhaps it's not that we look at brit milah as a pagam that exists within a human being, and by removing the psar ha'arla, you remove this defect, the fault that God created man with. Or side two of the coin is, like every other mitzvah aseh, that engaging in this particular action invests and injects a higher level of kiddushah to the person who performed this particular mitzvah. So any mitzvah aseh, whenever we perform a mitzvah aseh, the purpose is to add an element of kedushah by fulfilling God's will in any particular reason. So if we take a lulav on Sukkot, if we eat matzah on Pesach, if you take you do any of the mitzvot of the Torah, you give tzedakah, what a person is doing is not removing any negativity about him. It's quite the opposite. It's just adding a positive dimension through the fact that you are adhering to the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yes?
Is people trying these two choices as viable choices, or is it rhetorical, saying, oh, it's not to take away God, it's to add Tisha?
No, he's saying that this. He finds both positions in earlier writing. This is the Beis HaLevi, who is the Rav's great-grandfather. He was Rav Chaim Brisker's father, the Beis HaLevi, who the Rav, his name was Yosef Dov. The Rav was named after his great-grandfather. So he said, I have found in the earlier writings of Rishonim, that's Rambam, Ramban, whoever it is, both sides of the coin.
But wouldn't it be problematic to suggest the first? I mean, you're saying that Hashem created man with a pagan.
That's correct.
Why would he
do that? So it's a very good question, but it's designed to enable us to participate in creating the perfect world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could, it was the question that was posed to Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva, by Apostolos, one of the Roman leaders, was asked, if God is so perfect, why does he create a human being with an imperfection and then asks him to recreate it? So Rabbi Akiva gave him an answer. To say, you know, he wants God to, he wants us, and in fact, the answer which Rabbi Akiva gave is probably the simple pshat. When the Torah writes at the beginning of creation, when man is created, Na'ase Adam b'tzalmeinu kidmuteinu. We spent a lot of time of who is this Na'ase? So Rashi means, you know, remember Rashi? He said it meant he asked the angels. Should we, and not that he needed the angels or that the angels would participate, but they were all there. So he was nice and he said, yeah, would you like to join in? According to the answer from Rabbi Akiva, he's talking to man himself. Will you join me in creating the ultimate act of creation? Not the birds, not the skies, not the oceans. Ultimate act of creation is the creation of man. And yes, man, the one man that he created, now has to be perfected through Brit Milah. So that idea is well grounded. Well grounded. And the Beis Halevi then says, in light of what I just told you, please tell me what you think the phrase Hitalech Lefanai Veheyeh Tamim means. In light of this remark, in light of what I just said, the two positions, what does Veheyeh Tamim mean according to this? Yes. Good. Exactly. You'll be Shalem. Up until now, you are not Shalem. So man's perfection of participating in the act of creation comes about by removing the orla, and then man will achieve ultimate perfection. So that's what the Beis Halevi says. That's why it says before undergoing the act of a brit, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, Hitalech lefanai veheyeh tamim. And here it also fits in the Hitalech Lefanai. Whenever you have multiple people who are involved in any project, which one will get the if they do it in stages, which one will get the notoriety and the fame and the acclaim? The guy who finishes the project. Exactly. Exactly. The Makaba Patish. Precisely. So here, that's what it means. Hitalech lifanai. I want you, man, to take a step even in front of me. Because when I created man, it was not yet completed. But if you engage in the Brit, you will now be standing, yes, the world will recognize the great creativity and the ultimate act of finishing, completing the creation of man. How? Through Hasarat Berit. So it probably has, so the Beis Halevi says, it has both elements, and one comes about as a result of the other. How does a person gain more Kiddushah by performing this mitzvah Brit Milah? By finishing the product which HaKadosh Baruch Hu only started. And of course you will ask the question, and many do, why wouldn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu have given Adam HaRishon the opportunity to complete it himself? Why wait 20 generations until Avram comes into the picture? That's a question which nobody has given a very good answer. Why wouldn't have HaKadosh Baruch Hu given opportunity to do so? So the one answer which everybody says is, there is a famous midrash which happens to be included in the repetition of Shmona Esrei of Musaf on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, the beginning of Chazar Hashat. There's a poem which we composed by Eliezer HaKalir, and we say it in Chazar Hashat, and it tells a little story in the name of a medrash that the day Adam HaRishon was created, HaKadosh Baruch Hu immediately gave him the one mitzvah which he asked him to observe. Not to eat from the Eitz Hadaas. So he goes like it's like a clock. Adam HaRishon was created at 8 o'clock. At 9 o'clock, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him the command. By 10 o'clock in the morning, he was already violating it. At 11 o'clock, he was thrown out of Gan Eden already. All happening very quickly. So the response was, the reason why Adam was not given this benefit is because he failed in the one mitzvah which God asked him to observe. I don't want you to eat it. So, and you'll ask, why didn't he give it to Noah? You have to say a lot of Torah there as well. But what's happening here, that's why I showed you this, is because the phrase Hit Halef Lifonah Veheye Tamin fits in beautifully in our imagery of what the mitzvah of Brit Milah stands for in relationship to the creation of mankind. Yes?
It would also explain in Pasuk Dalet when it says Ani Kinei Briti, that the extra Ani is the Bavar Ani. So if you take a look in Pasuk Bet, when it says Ani Kefakai,
right.
Then this is expressing which Ani is he talking about. And then the Ani, after the Hitalet of the night, the Yates Ani, it's Hashem is in a state of perfection, and then if he does this, if he walks, then he may receive it back.
Very nice. Very nice. Yeah. You can explain why it says Ani. Yeah, it's not adding much. That is correct. All right, Rabbi Tai, we'll start. Yeah?
What is the significance of Abraham being Abraham Goyim? Why is that significant to us or to Abraham?
Because each one of those nations has the capacity to live a life in accordance with the will of God. You can't blame that you didn't have any teacher or master who would explain to you what your responsibilities are to fulfill the word of God. That's a good question. That's a good question. Not sure. It's a good question. Okay, Rabotai, just one thing. I want to give the share next week, but I can't give it on Wednesday at 12:30. So, is there a preference for a Tuesday at 12:30? Thursday at 12:30?
Tuesday,
12:30? Okay, Tuesday it is, next week. Yes. Yes?
How would you say that? Hashem creates, and also that's with this chaser. Is that part of our? We're talking about we have to build in that missing.
Right. So there are many things that it could. So one interpretation is the chesrona means that which we don't have, but we need. It's right. That's what it is. I am thanking you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for fulfilling that which I desperately need. Water, things like that. You know, but there are things that we can survive without. And those are not included in the bracha. It's only those things which, had I not had, would endanger my life. Yeah.